And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In St. Mary Major Basilica in Rome, there is a medallion above the altar, and it depicts it's a mosaic that depicts a throne that is empty, save for a crown and a scepter that are placed upon it. And below that is the altar, and below the altar is a wooden feed box, which tradition tells us is the very feed box, the manger, that our Lord was laid in when he was born. Most of us don't suffer descending steps in social prestige very well. A military officer who's passed over for promotion won't be around for long. If somebody is an executive in a business and is demoted, that's a quick way to the door. We have been fed the wrong message about social climbing. Our Lord shows us the true way up, and that's through his condescension. When the Word, the eternal Word, came down from heaven to be born and become one of us, not like us, but one of us. And he remains God, not like God, but truly God. So truly God and man. We don't like things that are important, that are like important things. If we had what we thought was an expensive work of art, and an expert tells us, well, it's like that artist's painting, but it's not it, we would feel dismayed. If what your spouse felt for you was something like love, that would be a problem. If you were to have a conversation with someone and found out that that was like a person but not a person, that would be disturbing. And so this was the issue that the church had to deal with. And the difference between homoousios and homoiousios is an abyss. To be the same as God or to be like God. The Arians said that he was like God. He was kind of like God, kind of like us. Probably a leftover of Greek philosophy, which kind of eschewed corporality. The Greeks were kind of embarrassed of physical things. They saw physical realities as something of a prison, as a limitation. Now, how different is that from Scripture, which tells us in the very first lines that everything our Lord created was good. And it's so good, he joined us. He took upon himself our nature, not to become like a man, but to become a man without becoming a human person and remaining God. So he, in this almost impossible to comprehend mystery of humility and condescension, the eternal Word comes down to be one of us, amongst us, precisely for us. As the old Christmas carol says, veiled in the flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased does man with men did dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Any Jew hearing John's prologue for the first time would know exactly what he was referring to when he starts with these words, Bereshit, in the beginning, because these are the very first words of Genesis. And so the hearer is set up to understand creation. There is going to be a new story of creation now presented to us. In the first creation, everything was good until the last day when God created man. Then he changes it up, and the sacred author says, it was very good. It was very good. When this very good creation, our first parents decided to rebel against the will of God, everything changed. Their relationship with God changed, their relationship with each other changed, their own ability to relate to themselves and the entire cosmos changed. Everything in the visible, physical world was altered by that sin. But not our Lord. He is immutable. He is unchanging. And he is alive. He is not the lonely God of Omar, as G.K. Chesterton called him, this one-person deity who was just there and decided arbitrarily to create, and all of a sudden he's no longer alone. No, God was never alone. He is the first community. He is the first family. He is the icon for the family as a trinity. And so the Word, what is the Word? In the beginning was the Word. The Word is the Father's thought of himself. The Father has one thought. And in that thought, which is so perfect, so complete of himself, this thought of himself contains himself and yet is distinct from himself. And it says in the Word, this Logos, who is the Son, generated from the Father's self-knowledge, who's so complete that he lacks nothing to be a divine person. It says he was in God's presence. Actually, in Greek, it's they were face to face. They were face to face, which is proper to persons. It doesn't say they were mind to mind or elbow to elbow. They were face to face. Why? Because face is proper to a person. And this is the Word that the Father spoke, and it's the only Word he ever spoke. Everything created is as a result of this one self-knowing thought, this Logos. Everything that is created, that existed, that exists now, that will exist, exists in this one thought. Nothing escapes him. And so the Son is the fullness of the Father's truth. God from God and light from light. True God from true God. The Word was God. And the Father looks at the Logos, his beloved Son, and discerns every possibility of rationality and order, every grain of sand, a plant, a person, animal, that he brought into existence, will bring into existence. It's all contained in this one thought. And this is why we are to have a certain resonance with everything that is good, true, and beautiful. In French musical parlance, they would say vibration sympathique. When you have a tuned chord of a stringed instrument that's plucked, the other chords near it vibrate. And in a certain sense, that's our ability to relate with the Logos in everything created, because it's intelligible. It speaks of the truth. It speaks of its author, of its maker. The Greeks were, and John is writing in Greek, the Greeks were somewhat uncomfortable with this physicality, and this is why the Word becoming flesh was such a radical, wild notion that Paul speaks about. It's insanity. And we are not Manichaeans. We're not Gnostics. We're not Puritans or New Agers who say spirit good, body bad. With the entrance of original sin into the equation, it's understandable that someone might fall into that error, but everything our Lord created is still good nonetheless. Thomas Aquinas tells us that the creation was one thing. God's restoration of the creation through his forgiveness was something far greater than the original creation. And this is thanks to the incarnation. And then it says that the Word was made flesh and set up his tent among us. Esconesen en chemin. What is it to set up a tent? What is a skene? Esconesen. A skene is a tent. It's a, and again, a Jew hearing this for the first time is going to understand. A tent is a tabernacle. What is a tabernacle? It's a little taberna, which is a tent. The tent was the meeting place between God and man in Exodus. And then that's going to be superseded by the temple, the one singular, unique meeting place between God and man. And then Christ, the Word made flesh, comes onto the scene. The tent is obsolete. The temple is obsolete. Christ is the temple. And his body, the mystical body of Christ, the church, is not, therefore, an organization, but an organism. And he is the head. So when it says that he tabernacled among us, we understand he dwelt among us. No, he tabernacled among us. He set up his dwelling place for us in the incarnation so that we could encounter him, so that we could receive his grace, his mercy, recognize his truth. And that is the mystery we celebrate at Christmas. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.